This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, hello, hello, hello there. Of course, when you hear those Tibetan singing bowls, you know it is time for Beyond Ears and Eyes here on Cliff Central. And Shemaine is laughing at me because I've got the same song every week. Before I give you a turn, Shemaine, let me just say thank you to Palesa Mabue for pressing the buttons and making us sound good. Thanks, Palesa. Hope you're good.
Baby girl is wearing makeup today. Oh, I love it. Some eyeliner. You're blinging. Thanks, Palesa. Yes, I'm Shemaine Harris, and our guest today is Pieter Brink, and an amazing man. He has many, many talents. He's a teacher. He's a counselor. He does and gives spiritual talks. So I should probably say gives spiritual talks instead of he does spiritual talks. He knows a lot about magic. And and so today we're going to talk to him about something that makes me go with my little four fingers and do a cross in front of my body. We're going to talk about breaking black magic spells, amongst other things. Welcome, Pieter.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the invitation.
You're more than welcome. It's great to have you here. So am I right in saying we're going to talk about breaking spells and all that goes with it, spells in general, what they are, how they come about, etc., etc.?
Yes, we could talk about a broad spectrum of all those things.
Mm-hmm. Let's just get this out of the way. Black magic, is that real? I mean, if I don't believe in it, can it affect me?
It is as real as we're sitting here today, and it can affect you even if you don't believe in it.
So, yeah. No, you go ahead.
I know. So who would use black magic? I mean, they sound like horrible people.
Sometimes people that is angry with person, some people with greed. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different situations where they use it. But there's also a lot of different ways of magic. Some is, I won't say it's black magic, and it can be most of it, all of it is psychic.
So, okay, yeah, because I want to know, what is magic? What is that? You know?
Magic is...
What is black magic, especially?
Black magic, as it said, is black. It's used to harm people,
okay,
and that type of thing. White magic can improve your life. It can improve your situation. It can be used for various different things. But let's first see... There's a lot of different ways. Psychic attack can be yourself. You can be attacked by a person. That a person doesn't even know that he's attacking you, and it will harm you through the rest of your life.
Okay, that is what one. What do you mean by that?
Let's say if you are a miserable woman and you always tell
don't
your child.
Don't point at me.
I was not
going to
say that to me.
I'm just taking an example. If you always tell your child that is not good for nothing, mm, and he won't be able to live and that type of thing,
mm,
it is
curse.
Yes, it's a psychic attack, and it will harm him for the rest of his life till he get away to resolve that problem.
So, can you do it to yourself? Because we do
you
that to
do
ourselves.
You can do it to yourself, with fear and anger, you do that to yourself.
And speaking down to yourself?
That's right. It's like a disadvantage. You always feel disadvantaged. You're not fit for the situation, or you don't want to do this or that. And it's a very natural thing, but it's a very harmful thing.
Okay, so the one way is unwittingly. If you think angry thoughts about someone, or you, and you know, we do that sometimes. We say, "Yeah, that person made me so angry. I wish he gets a pain in his backside."
And then he does. Is that
a
pain in the backside?
Definitely. There's a lot of ways to find out if there is a psychic attack being launched on you.
Okay.
So if a person feels suddenly his power is draining, and he's feeling like he's going to lie down, he can't get up. That's one of the conditions. Other one is if he sees always around him, there's something moving like a black thing at the back or something like that. That can also be one of the the proof of that he's been at the psychic deck. And then some of people get a bad smell about them. Other people can smell that too.
About that. So you physically smell bad. It's an odor that they're giving out,
yes.
Yeah, oh. But how do you know it's not because you ate garlic or...
Well, you won't know if you go to someone, but if it suddenly happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you ate garlic, you know that's a reason. But if it suddenly happened and the people sit together, but you've got a terrible smell of it. Yeah. And then you would must find somebody that can help you, because that is one of the actual things that is pointed out.
And that's a psychic attack.
Yes, that's
and
a psychic
attack. And so you say it drains you, you could smell bad, you could see little shadows pass you, behind you, down at the bottom. Are they ever on the top?
That can be anywhere. And then it can be without, you can be without sleep. You can't sleep. That's also one of the...
And that's not drug-induced.
No.
Peter, but how do you know you are not imagining this or being superstitious?
Well, it's a problem because there's a lot of people that's got a very high imagination.
Mm.
And if they imagine they're sick, they will be sick in 5 minutes. But if you know yourself and suddenly you find that things is not working for you, everything is going haywire, and you pick up certain things, then you must try to see if there's something wrong.
What if it's just a season that you're going through? Because, you know, we go through seasons where now you have to buckle down and have a rough time, and you go through it, and then now it's time to chill. So what if it's just one of those seasons that you're supposed to go through?
Well, if it's one of those situations where you're going through a rough time, I don't think then you will know, and your higher self will know that you're going through a rough time, and it will make provisions for that. But if it's behind your control, then you know there's something wrong.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that there are psychic attacks, because that's something that one doesn't look at, hey? Because, you know, just the thought that someone thinks of you in a bad way, that they can get to you, is really scary. And I mean, they probably don't even know, you know, that they are attacking you or that they have attacked you. And now it's going on for, I don't know, generations. How do I break it?
There's different ways of breaking it. Some people, guardian angels, he's got different type of guardian angels. If he chants some mantras, it will help to bring whichever guide is needed for this. Then there's different ways of, if a person come to me that was with a psychic attack, like to his personality, like the one I told you about the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would suggest that they go into a journey. I take him through a journey, and I take him wherever that situation occurred. And when he's in that level of consciousness, I'll tell him that they are at the fire now, at a bonfire. And which people do you want to be there with you? And they will actually tell you, which they will stipulate, that there's this person, this person, this person, this person here. And you will ask them, which one do you want to talk to? And the one that is the most aggressive to that person, he will talk to that person, and they will make peace there. And it will be out of his system.
Now, if I think bad thoughts about people, I might be putting a spell on them. But what if someone actually has bad intentions and either do a spell themselves or go to a practitioner of dark magic? Is that spell more potent than the one that you're just unwittingly sending bad energy to someone?
Yeah, that's much more powerful, because there's a lot of intent in that. And intent is the actual thing that makes magic work.
Now, how do you protect yourself against that?
That is very difficult because you don't know when that attack has been launched on you. So if you find out that there's something actually very wrong with you, I would suggest that you go to someone that's got psychic powers or so that they can help you. Because you can't help yourself in that situation.
And you are one of those people who can help people.
Yes,
and then you can see. What do you normally see when someone comes to you and say, "Yo, Peter, I don't know, but I'm sure I'm under attack." What do they normally come with?
Normally, they're under attack. They just come to see what is the fortune or something like that. And
really,
yeah, they don't really recognize that they are under attack. But there's different ways because it all depends on the practitioner that does the things to them, how good he is or how advanced he is. So sometimes it will not show on the surface.
Uh-huh.
You have to go deeper into it. But normally I just look into water and then I see whatever is going on there. And then I can advise them that this must be done or that must be done. Or otherwise, I'll lay them down in the healing bed and I will just rake my hands around them and then it will come up whatever problem is there and then we'll take it from there. Mm.
Do you have a severe problem that you, or something that you want to highlight that is severe but it occurs regularly but we don't even realize it? That you have, that you deal with?
There's a lot of people that get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And the other party is actually very angry of them. Then they want to destroy this person at that moment.
Mm-hmm. The one who instigated the
divorce.
Yeah,
and then they go, excuse me, to a practitioner, a magic practitioner. But there's a lot of different kinds of practitioners. There's a lot of people that just there for the sake of the money. They will take anything and do anything and they will just, mm-hmm. because they want the money. And then there's the real ones that will solve the problem.
Okay.
But if a person comes to me, wants to harm somebody else, I will not take that case. I won't do it because it's not into my nature. I don't want to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people that does that. And then they charge him huge amounts of money to do actual harmful things to other people. And after a month or so, they forget that they've been with that person.
Mm-hmm.
But that curse is going on as long as it takes. So if that curse is not broken, it will carry on.
Peter, but what about karma? Why would a practitioner intentionally send out bad energy to a person if they know it's going to come and bite them in the ass?
It won't bite the practitioner because he's only the instrument that does it.
Does he not take on any of that karma?
It comes back to the person that it's come back to the person that wants that to be done.
But does the practitioner not take on some of that karma?
No, not really.
I find that hard to believe because, I mean, then it means that people can go around doing bad things without any consequences on an energy level.
They do that. They do it all the time.
But surely there must be some consequence.
They will get into trouble at the later stage. But at this stage, where the actual spell has been made, that the karma will come back to that person that was sending it.
Okay.
It's just an instrument. It's like a chemist just mixing the mixture that the doctor described.
But if that chemist knows that this potion or this mixture is going to harm someone, I find it difficult to wrap my head around the fact that there won't be any consequences.
Because they know exactly how to protect them and how to do certain things that stuff won't harm them.
Oh, so they shield themselves, from the negative
and
karma.
Like if they use voodoo dolls and that type of thing.
Mm.
If they long into the making of this, then they will actually, the needles that they use, they will, it's like a normal needle which you work with your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They will cut it with a side cutter. They will cut the loose open.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's very hard to get from where it's coming.
So you cut the tip.
Mm. where the thread goes through.
Oh, you the
Cause
eye.
Because it can't make a loop then.
Oh, the you cut the
so,
eye.
But yeah.
Okay, but so that's supposed to stop the it looping back to you as a practitioner.
Yeah, it won't. The intention is that it won't go back. But if you know what how to look about it, you will still find it. But not for the usual guy.
Okay, so you mentioned voodoo dolls. What other physical, for lack of a better word, things do you use to create black magic spells?
They can use, if they got body parts of you, like hair or nails or something that like that, it's very easier for them to get to the person because it's a direct link.
Mm.
So they use that in a lot of cases. Otherwise, if they got a photo or they got handwriting or something like that, they can use that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of things they can use to harm a specific person.
So if someone is really angry at me, I should be careful where I throw my nail clippings.
That's definitely for sure.
Okay. Now, and are there certain times of the moon cycle that are more conducive to these kinds of
spells? There is moon cycles which magic works in, because there's a lot of this different, especially in higher magic, where there's deities that's got a certain time where they are more powerful than others. But it goes with the intent. If the intent is very high, then it will work even if the moon phase is not right.
So you also don't need those crutches, because some people can use it just by projecting mentally.
Yes.
They don't need nails. They don't need hair. They don't need a picture. They don't need a dress. They don't need a piece of underwear, because apparently a piece of underwear is clothing, anything.
Is
very potent, or is very, what do you call it? Apparently, so you need to leave your undies somewhere.
we don't leave those anywhere, in any case.
And in some of the cases that something like this has been done, it takes quite a while for the person to realize that everything is going haywire.
Mm.
I was just busy with a case that I done last week, where a woman was for 7 years been attacked by this, and she's still surviving. And it's just that she's a very strong woman, but she couldn't carry on because everything was going into the ground at this stage.
Couldn't carry on with what?
With her life. She was giving up.
It's, okay.
That's what the intent is, to make you give up, or you're not interested, and to take everything from you.
So, okay, I have a question, but I first want to find out from you, why is this brief or panty thing so sought after? Why do people always say that, you know, you really, especially they go like, especially if it's in a love relationship kind of spell that people try and put on to you? I'm not sure that it's the truth. I'm just asking, because everybody always go like, hide the panty.
Have you never heard that? Because magic also works with the chakras, and your base chakra is actually where all your sexual activities is taking part, and that is why a piece of
underwear
is so important, and especially they use menstrual blood as well.
Okay,
that is very potent and very.
Really?
They do very, very scary things with that.
Really? So what about when your doorstep? I mean, we're going to go to the place where you go like, no, this is what we can do. What about your doorstep? Because apparently that's also some place where people put stuff, you know, to harm you.
Yeah.
You're going into your house, coming out of your house, you're crossing.
You can take, for example, if you're at work, and everything is going pleasant here. But if you've put your foot inside your house,
mm-hmm.
everything goes haywire. You're fighting with your wife, or you're fighting with the kids, or this or that. It's not natural, because it's not the way that you perform. And that's a lot of ways they do this type of things. This practitioners that, let's call it for the bad, they can make, like, in the African language, they call it tokolosis. And that is actually real things that exist.
Are they spirit force?
They spirit force, and they are earth bound
so
spirits.
Lower level energies.
Very much lower levels.
Have you
that
seen
they
them?
Used. And they used certain parts of animals, and they give it life with this.
With these spirits. Animals. So, which animals are at risk?
They use, a lot of times, they use cats, because a cat has got a special bone inside his body, like a marble, which can bend anyway. That's what they use mostly to make this type of things.
Mm. So the doorway thing, how does that work?
Well, normally they will just put something there, like muti, what they call it. They will mix something, and they will dig it in there, or they just throw it there, and it will actually invest there, and they will grow there, and bad vibes and bad spirits will evolve from that.
But black magic is not only just the domain of African magicians. It's also something very prevalent all magic traditions.
Light and dark, wherever you go.
Yin and yang. Yeah. That's right.
So what I want to ask you is, you said your intention determines the potency or the strength of the spell. Now, what if I believe very, very, very strongly that I am divinely protected. Can't I then shield myself from any attacks?
It will be more difficult to attack you, especially what experience the practitioner's got. But as it works, because it's psychic, it goes into your aura layers. Mm-hmm. And when your aura layer has got a crack inside, then it's in, and then.
Okay, what would cause a crack in an aura?
It can be that you're using medicine. Mm-hmm. It can be that you're using drugs. It can be you're using alcohol, or it can be that you just at a very low esteem, and there's such a high voltage coming through to you that you can't actually handle it.
Okay, high extreme, low voltage, high extreme. Or how do you mean? You mean you can be depleted?
If you are very, if a person will carry on, a lot of these guys, they will give you a thing and you must do it over and over and over and over and over. Sometimes for 21 days. And in that situation, something will actually break.
So if you are tired, can that also be a crack?
It can be
crack?
It can resolve to a crack.
Okay. So
that's why it's so difficult. The people doesn't understand when they're under the influence of liquor, what is actually happening to them. Because then the shield is down, it's open. There's other stuff that can also enter them. So sometimes...
Other stuff like?
Extra... our partners in the universe.
Extraterrestrials?
That's right. They can also enter. And they can... And because when a drunk person is sober again, he cannot realize that he did this or did that. And sometimes it's just to disguise what they did. But in a lot of cases, they really don't know what they do, because it wasn't them that is doing it.
This idea of extraterrestrials taking over humans, that doesn't sit well with me.
I always thought entities, you know. So
because there's a dying race out there.
Who are they?
Zeta Reticulum. Okay. You know, if you go to the sweet shops, you always see this one with the big eyes and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the greys.
The resemblance of them. Yeah, some people call them all different kind of things. And they especially they go inside this person, and they're protected inside there. And some if you go onto liquor regularly, they will actually manifest inside you, and they will not even leave you. But if you just once, they won't manifest inside you. They will just be there, and then when you get to yourself, they will actually depart.
But isn't that a mental health issue that you're talking about? It sounds like you're talking about schizophrenia and multiple personality disorder.
It's not that. The people sometimes they put the label on that, but it's not that. There's a lot of people in psychiatric hospitals that are actually psychic and not mad, but the people don't know how to
differentiate.
That's right.
So who would be the ones that you think are psychic? The ones with dissociative disorder, because they have like multiple personalities, the schizophrenics, just the ones who came in there with a lot of alcohol and drug abuse, because that can also send you there.
Yeah, the drug abuse and alcohol and that type of thing is actually a very high risk, and they are more of the nature of that type of thing.
Or what would you call them? Yeah, because you go like, okay, so which ones would you then call psychic, or which ones are more prone to being psychic in mental institutions?
Sometimes the people in mental organizations or hospitals, they really don't know where they are. Uh-huh. The ones that is, they act natural, and sometimes they totally different person.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they don't know how to, the guides is taking over and they don't know what they're doing. So that is why they call it they're mental, but they're not really mental. If they got the right teaching, they would be able to differentiate between the two.
So the guides are taking over. They don't know what they're doing. So how do the guides then live through them? Because they still move, breathe, eat, talk.
Each person has got a lot of guides with him.
Mm-hmm.
Only got one guide. There's a guide for specific things. And sometimes when a guide leaves you and a new one comes in, there's like an open space. And the person must adapt to the ways of that guide telling him to do, because guides can revolve.
Are they inside? Because I always had the impression that your guides are outside.
They're outside.
So the new guy, the old guy goes, the new one comes, you're a little confused with this new one's way of teaching.
Yeah, because then you're not grounded. Huh. So it's a different ways, but they specifically do that to put you onto a new track. And sometimes it's just too much for a person that's not strong enough.
So you have your nervous breakdown.
That's right, Joe.
You go, but now... Well, there's that crack thing, because you're going to go on medication.
That's right. So it's a difficult situation.
So what happens then?
Because
you kind of go like, I have to take this medication forever. You know, because most of the time that's what happens. You know, you have to stay on it for a lifetime.
Yeah, they like to describe antidepressants and all that type of thing, but it doesn't really help. It just helps for the symptoms, but it's not actually solving the cause. It's very difficult to get into what has actually happened to a person if you're not psychic and you cannot see what is going on.
Have you ever gone to a place where, like a mental institution, and did you just sit there and observe, and what messages did you get?
I've been there a couple of times, and there's a lot of people that need help there, and it's actually asking for help, but it's not so freely to give it to them, because the people think I'm also mad if I go there. I speak to this guy.
Okay. Well, I have so to say, listening easy. To this conversation, I wonder about both of your mental health. Let's get back to spells. What about a magic spell? Can that become a form of black magic?
Yes, if the practitioner doesn't know what he's doing, or he's like a learner, or he's not good, he can set things together that is intended to be good, but it can actually harm a person.
Okay. So, but for me, a spell is it can be either way, it's good or bad. I mean,
that's right,
it's unnatural. You just are not supposed to be doing that thing. You just leave people alone.
Is I'm magic thinking, unnatural?
Well, in terms of manipulating someone else, your need, you know, with. Or your desires to get someone else. Say, for instance, the love thing. A lot of people go like, I want that guy. Oh, my God. I want that girl. Please.
Free will. And that won't last. You can put them together, but it will never last. Because it's not that person's free will.
What if you go continuously? Because I've heard of people going, no, you must go every month to go and sort out your stuff. You know, so that
It won't last. That is just people that's making money out of them that's doing that, because the universe will only allow it for a certain time, and then it will definitely break, and it will be a very bad break.
But then in the same argument, I can say that a curse or a dark spell won't last, because that's not in the nature of the universe to allow things like that to happen.
Thin line, but it's a different thing, because there is certain things that has been used and that is not present at that time.
What
that
do you
will
mean
enforce
with certain
that.
Things? So what if I do a love spell? What if I take a potion, or I take a? You said you could use nail clippings or hair to do a spell, a curse. So what if I take that and I, you know, devise some spell? Isn't it in the same playing field?
It is much more intent if you do something like a spell to a person, just a love spell. A love spell is just to bring that person into that other person's aura, and then they will carry on from there. And then it will, normally they're so happy they're together, they don't carry on with it, and then it will break. If a spell is intended to do harm, it will be a very specific spell, and they'll use certain things to keep it going. And once, like
certain things like?
Like the tokolosis, the mochondoros, that type of thing.
Is the mochondoro the same as the tokolosis?
It's just a higher level of
tokolosis. Oh my goodness.
So it's low-level spiritual entities.
Yeah. But once that is invoked, they won't go away like by themselves. They have to be removed.
And these lower-level entities, some people refer to them as demons.
Yeah, you can say that. It's just another way of but there's a difference between demons is actually in the higher grade of the low entities.
Okay, so a demon is just a step up from a lower level.
Yeah,
and but don't they all get sent?
Yeah, they can get sent, but not by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very strong, and you have to know what is going on to send that people to the light or wherever they go.
How do you not get scared or freaked out? Do you know what I mean?
You know,
all I want to do is
I can tell you a little story that was actually happened to me while I was still young, about 23. A very good friend of mine was actually renting a plot out, well, it's like a farm. And he came to me and said to me that everything there is going haywire and he doesn't know what's going on there. So I said, okay, I'll go there with him and I'll check. And when I got to the place, I see that there's very bad things been made there, and that there won't be any happiness or anything there.
What bad things made? Can you divulge?
The people that was there, they were removed from that place, and they didn't want any other people to be happy there or to enrich themselves or have.
So was it a forced removal from that place, and those
and
people
then
were
went
unhappy?
To, they went to a doctor, they call it a doctor, a witch doctor, and they did things there, but it was very bad. It was actually aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to this guy, okay, I'll go and I'll get everything right, and then on next week, on the weekend, I'll go there. And he was going to come with me, and then I'll sort it out. But this guy was so anxious. He came to me on the Monday and said to me, we must go there. I said, I don't want to go there at night because it's not, this forces are very much stronger at night than what they are in day.
Mm.
I always cleanse the place during the day because at night it's a much harder job. Oh, and I was still young and he was nagging me. And then I said to him, okay, come Wednesday night and then we'll go there. He picked me up, him and his son. And as we left, I said to him, this is not the right thing to do. Because as the car was going, there was like a ball of fire following us.
Mm.
I said to him, this is trouble.
But he didn't see the ball of
fire. No, he didn't see nothing. And he said, no, man, we must get it finished because I want to start there tomorrow doing things and this and that. So when we got to close to the place, eventually, they didn't want me to go there, the forces there. They know what I'm going to do. And then this car, when they hit the brakes, there was just no brakes and the car was just going. And there was nothing that could stop this car. And then the only thing that I did is I opened the door and I jumped out at quite a speed. And I was rolling at the side of. And as I was lying on the road, I would see the car going slower and slower and slower and stop there. And then.
And the brakes worked.
And then the door, which was closed when the car was still going, opened and my. Jacket was thrown out of the car. And then I stood up and then I got there. And this, now they were very frightened.
And so who threw the jacket out of the car?
I don't know.
Okay, but there's not this
them.
Man and his son.
It wasn't them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was sitting at the back and the two were sitting in front. And then, but as I was lying there, I could see flames coming out of the car, out of the brakes. And then when I got there to them and they tried to be normal again because they were...
Because you threw yourself out of a car.
Yeah. And they couldn't stop the car. Then they actually discovered that the brake fluid was actually burning, and brake fluid is water. It cannot burn. So then they said, well, let's turn around. I said, no, now I cannot turn around. Because if I turn around now, I'll never be able to go there.
So you can't turn around?
No, I can't turn around.
Okay, so this is like I lay down the gauntlet.
That's right, yeah. And then it was one of my hardest jobs that I've ever done there. It took me over 2 hours to get everything under control there. And then they had to call, go to the neighbors and get somebody to come and fetch us there because the car has got no brakes and everything. And I said to them, don't go there again before the weekend. Leave it for 3 days. And when they get there, everything was fine and everything, they could have go on with their lives there.
So what did you do? Did you do a ritual? Did you do incantations? Did you pray? How do you get rid of these things?
No, I had to break this. I had to break the spell and I had to bind the forces that was there. We used a lot of different, what they call muti, that I had to do with at each door of the house, and I had to do it at the borders of the plot and everything. But it was actually a fight then against that forces, a fight against me. That's not what it did not intend to be. So it was quite an intense story to do. Yeah.
So it wasn't for you, it was for someone else. How regularly do you do this kind of thing where you go and cleanse places or break spells? And do they return, though?
No, once I've been there, they cannot return to those places because I send them to the makers or to the light. So they won't return. I close the gate and there's nothing that I can come back at that stage. I don't know if there's somebody that's doing a different thing, maybe, but those ones will not return.
So this sounds like what people describe as a haunting, or is it something else?
Yeah, that can be described as a haunting. It can be described as poltergeist. There's lots of things. There's actually, I've been in places where suddenly it's changed, that is swept over the roof. It's a hell of a noise. There's scary lights. There's scary fires.
So when they see you, do they go out of order?
Normally, if a person got stuff around them, they will not actually want me to see them. But if they realize that I've seen them and stuff, they try to scare me off and they try to get rid of me.
And so the people involved in this, what do they go like, what was that? Or are they normally the ones who said,
they're normally the ones that run and shit themselves, or what you can call it.
Can these entities, can they harm a human?
They can harm a human, but it's very difficult for them to actually kill someone. The person actually kills himself.
Mm. How?
So, like if you're driving and suddenly there's this thing appearing in front of you and you get a fright and you just stop the brakes on 120, the car will roll or something like that, or you go down a cliff or something, that's actually what they want. But they can actually inflict harm to your body. You can have bruises, and you can have,
without you knowing where it comes from,
all sorts of things.
Is there no way that you can, you know, say a prayer and protect yourself?
Yeah, there is a lot of prayers that the people use, and there's a lot of things that they use, but it's their higher self that they must be in control of, otherwise it won't help.
Okay. Now, is there a difference between, I mean, I'm trying to make sense of this, what I would see as a life lesson, this challenge that I have to go through, from what you are saying, sounds like it could possibly be a black magic spell that someone else has put on me. How do you know the difference?
It's actually very difficult for a person, but if you've got a big desire to do anything and everything goes wrong, then I think you have to go and see some psychic person, because if it's your intention, it's your desire, normally it works.
So if you grow spiritually and you do things right, and you know, you do like your whole, your chakra system, you do your meditations, you do good for whatever that might mean, but you go out of your way to not harm people, and you know, you do your cleansing rituals by yourself, you know, your house, your yard, your body, your children, whatever comes in, can those things just fall away without having gone to someone who specializes in stuff like this?
If you do that cleansing and you don't harm people and stuff, it's very unnatural that somebody will do something on you.
Or that it can stick.
Yeah, but it all depends on which is doing the stuff.
Wow. Sure. So I'm just going like, I just want to do the right thing, you know. But Peter, For me sitting at home, who can't get to you for some reason, or to someone like you who's got your skills, what can I do, you know, that's practical, you know, because I'm going like, okay, I'm going to go and check what's happening in front of my doorway and scratch, or the back of my cupboard, or, you know, underneath my...
And just going to count all her clothes and make sure they're all in...
Underneath the bed. Because you don't want to hear this stuff, but it happens. I'm just, you know, for me, you sitting here talking like this is just kind of like crazy, because you don't... You know, people talk about that stuff.
Yeah. You know, in the olden days, it was much more realistic, because on the farms and stuff, it's much easier to do this type of thing that's into town with all the lights, because how can I say, if you take a cigarette and you pull it and you pushes the smoke out,
mm-hmm.
that it makes like a
cloud emblem. Of smoke.
Yeah, that is how this thing looks, and if you put on the light, it disintegrates, mm-hmm. and when the light goes out again, it takes time to assemble it again.
So you're saying it works better on the farms?
Yeah, in the darker places, in the rural places, much better. But you can, you will always find that if you're not comfortable in your house, then you must open the windows wide.
Yeah.
So there can be a breathe inside there. It's good to use coarse salt.
Mm-hmm.
You can just take coarse salt and just sprinkle it from one side of your house, going through everywhere and going out by the door, and saying you're removing all negativity and jealousy, mm-hmm. and that type of thing. And if you want to, you can leave it over a weekend when you're not there. It's better if you leave it for a day or two, because it helps a lot. It will remove a lot of things.
The way you're talking about this is a little less scary than what one sees in the movies, because in the movies it's
yeah,
and you got to, yeah, all those people get pinned against the wall, or it's all blood and guts and gore.
Yeah, no, that's only in the movies. This is like a subtle thing that goes on for a long time.
How and spells, you know, that like the ones that you're talking about, how long can it stay within families? Because
it all depends how the intent was. It can stay there for generations.
No, but what if I, for example, and please don't think I would, but what if I am so angry at someone that I curse them and their children? The day I die, doesn't that go with me, that anger, that thought form?
Yeah, well, it is like karma. You will pay for that. And but if you've done something like tuberculosis or something like that, it has to be removed physically.
Okay. And how do you find that to remove it physically? I mean, once I'm gone, we don't know where I buried.
No, they will whatever. Still carry on with the purpose that they were sent there, because they each got a purpose that they sent there to disturb you or to make you mad.
So them mofos don't move.
Whatever.
The person who sent them died. And
yeah, they will go on because...
They still continue.
They continue because there's no beginning and there's no end.
Can the person who sent that stuff call them back? Or once they're out there, they're out there. They don't get
called back. The practitioner can call them back.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The practitioner can call them back.
They can actually... Let's take, for example, if there's somebody in Cape Town that they want to do specific things to, they will send them there and they will do the things, and he can check in his things that what is going on, and then he can call them back, definitely.
This is such a mad conversation.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who thinks that. You know, okay. But so when that practitioner dies, does his
where does
spells
his stuff
continue?
Go to? Who's got them? Does he have a person who takes over his stuff? Like a
an apprentice.
They will carry on, but
also.
But it doesn't belong to him. If he sent them there, and the person like me, I can remove them, or I can tell him to go on or whatever.
Okay. So because I was just thinking if the person who does all those bad things to other people, when he dies, you know, doesn't he have an arsenal of, you know, of whatever, and he just goes like, okay, Freddie, I need you to take over my men and my
by potions and
you. No, normally they don't do that because there's nobody that can take over. It's his personalized stuff.
Where does he send them to if he knows he's going to die?
Oh, I don't think they send them anywhere. They just leave them where they are.
Okay. You also said you send them back to the person who sent them, or you send them to the light. What does that mean?
If you send it to the light.
Because, well, yeah, this during is your
dark,
cleansing.
This is dark forces. So if you put dark forces into the light,
They disintegrate. Okay.
So that's the best to do it. But sometimes people, they want them to go back to the person who to send them to them. That is also fair in the way of karma, because they did that to you, so you just send it back to them.
How does a person like you protect themselves against, you know, because you need protection.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, what's your armor?
Because I'm so long into this thing, my guides and stuff is quite armed for this, and I've got rituals that I do, and I've got cleansing baths and stuff that I do, mm-hmm. and if I do anything with a person after that, I will wash me thoroughly, and I will ground myself. So
do you also get attachments, like entity attachments, you know, when you go, or do you see entity attachments that you go like, we need to break this?
Yeah, I see it. And I feel sometimes if I'm in an environment, I can feel there's something not right here. And then I will go deeper into it, and then it will actually show me what's going on.
Are entities cute or are they ugly?
It can be.
We always get these funny.
Sometimes it can be a very ugly face. It can be sometimes just like smoke or anything like that.
Okay.
It all depends the nature they take on.
How long does it take for you to come in and to break a spell?
It all depends how long that spell is existing there.
Okay.
But
do spells gain strength or momentum the longer they carry on?
Yeah, because that people is like a visit, like a resident there. It's not a visit there anymore.
So they can put you out. They can be like, listen, you're in my house now. Get out.
That's right,
Joe. Really?
Normally a spell takes me about an hour.
Okay.
I'm scared now, Shemaine. I think I need to go check in the mirror and, you know, just watch my back.
I was thinking I need Jesus.
You know, there's a lot of people that don't believe in this, and then they think it will never happen to them. And I'm sorry to say that the realistic thing of this is it can happen.
Okay. And even if you do believe it or don't believe it, you can.
That's right, yeah.
And even if you, Shemaine said she, you know, she feels she needs Jesus. Even if you are extremely religious and you believe very strongly that you are divinely protected, you can still fall victim to
this.
Well,
about 2 weeks ago, a pastor came to me that was asking me for help because he couldn't handle it anymore.
Wow. So... No, that
if
I
the spiritual teachers I
can
need help, then that. I guess we all need a little. We all need a little help.
Yeah,
scary.
Peter, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. This was enlightening. This is kind of scary. I was like, ooh, I don't want to have this conversation, but we had the conversation. Thank you so much for making it less scary than what I thought of it in my head.
Thank you for inviting me, and. I hope I cleared some things for a lot of people.
Thank you. Peter Brink, people. And you can be, you've got your spiritual healer Facebook page, yes. That, where people can get a hold of you.
That's right, Joe.
Awesome.
And the photos, they can see what I actually do and stuff like
that. And get more information. Thank you so much. Balisa, thank you so much, my baby. And from me, Shemaine Harris, be good to yourself.
And from me, Liesl Tom, take care.
This is CliffCentral.com.